Well, we're going to get into the lesson. If you would, take out your Bibles and open up in the Old Testament to Genesis, the second chapter, verse 18. Appreciate Tracy reading that for us today. We're looking at the... First of all, I want to look at what we're not looking at this verse as. This is not a lesson that people have to be married. You can be a faithful Christian and be single. That might be another lesson down the road. This is not a lesson that we find that God only made two genders, in spite of what some people in the world are saying today. That could be another lesson in and of itself. But it's just the concept. It says, and the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. I want us to just kind of break this down. Break this verse down, look at the different. There's quite a few different elements in this one verse. And the Lord God said, it's not my opinion, it's not so-and-so's opinion, it's the Lord God saying it. That's good enough for me. Whatever follows, and the Lord God said, we'll go with that. And in this circumstance, we see the Lord God said, God, in the previous chapter, had spoke the world into existence. That word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And this is how this verse is starting out. And the Lord God said, in chapter 1, we see that after each of his creations, God said, it is good. Whether it was in verse 3 about the light, or whether it was the sun, the moon, the stars, or everything he had made, we see that after each of God's creations, he said, and it was good. So when it says it is not good, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. God knows the difference between good and not good. Amen. He knows. And so he knows what was good. And as a result of that, he would know what is not good. And he said, it is not good that man should be alone. When we look at that word alone, this is not just different personalities of being an extrovert or being an introvert. You know, it's not that. I like getting away. I'm a people person, but I like getting out in the garage and working out, and I don't like to get too far. I love going camping. But you know what? I like coming back. We're not supposed to be alone. Even an introvert is not designed to be alone. We're not made to be secluded. God made us, and he made us to interact socially. Even a person that likes to kind of be off by themselves, they need the interaction periodically. Socially, recreationally, there's very few recreational games that are designed to be by yourself. You know, you can only play so many games of solitaire, you know? You got to have somebody to play against, I guess. But whether it be socially or recreationally, we're not designed to do things all by ourselves.
That's right.
And especially spiritually. There are some, you know, throughout history, there have been some examples of, say, monks separating themselves from society, going and living alone, not interacting, just studying the Word of God. I can appreciate their dedication, but that's not what God designed us to do. To serve, He wants us to interact with people, to share the gospel.
Amen.
We're doing exactly what God wanted in Hebrews 10 about assembling together, building each other up, worshiping God together as a body, not alone. And God said, it is not good that man should be alone. We need to come together spiritually, worship, praise, offer up an encouragement together to praise God. And then God says, I will make him a helper. Woman is kind of two concepts here. Woman is from God. God created woman for man. For man. He loved man so much, he was incomplete without woman. He made him a helper. And this was something, this was a gift from God that man could not have come up with on his own. He couldn't have done anything in and of himself to have provided what he needed. Make any connections yet? Connect any of the dots that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son? We couldn't have come up with a sacrifice like that. God is showing us time and time and time again. He loves us so much that he is providing for us the things that we're incapable of doing ourselves. Me, the Lord God, will make him a helper. A helper. An aid. A sidekick. Not a doormat. Not somebody that I can be in charge of. Somebody to help him. God knew what he was doing. I can't even get a song sheet home. We see what happens. We see real quick who the brains of the operation is. You know, I am so thankful that the helper is the better one. But you look at throughout our culture. I absolutely loved the Lone Ranger. In fact, growing up, I could not decide if growing up when I got to adulthood that whether I wanted to be the Lone Ranger or Superman. I just never could figure out that flying thing. I had a neat outfit though. I really did. My aunt made it for me. It was the best Superman, but I kind of was leaning toward the Lone Ranger because I couldn't figure the flying thing out. But For all the good that the Lone Ranger did, he had Tonto.
That's right.
And I don't know how many scrapes Tonto wound up saving the Lone Ranger. Lone Ranger is seen as the hero. Tonto did more than his share of helping the Lone Ranger. This God saw that it was not good that man should be alone.
That's right.
And he said, I will make him a helper, an aid, a sidekick, comparable to him. It's not a situation of superior or inferior. It's not a boss. It's not an underling. Nothing like that. God made a helper comparable to him. Both men and women have distinct and separate qualifications, abilities, different roles. But they play together and work together as a glove. I'm sitting here looking at some of the couples in the audience that have been together a long time. And they literally, they just blend. One without the other, it's kind of off. They both have separate roles, but they work together and they complement. And they make complete the other one. God is so many times in the Bible we see how God completes. The Word of God in 2 Timothy is able for, you know, to make us complete for every good work. God wants complete people. God made a helper comparable to him. Women have played a very prominent role in the early church. You know, everything from the women who followed Jesus, you know, to Priscilla, to elders' wives. And I'd like to look at these briefly. The women who followed Jesus, a lot of times this is overlooked in the Bible. We tend to, and rightly so, focus on Jesus. But you know, the women that followed Jesus did so much. It actually mentions that in Matthew 27 about the women. They ministered to Jesus. Here is the Son of God, but they were ministering to him in their service to God. And they ministered to the people following him, to his apostles. They encouraged. Look at how many times they were the source of encouragement to Jesus and to the others. They praised God. They gave the example. You know, I hate it when people say, oh, I'm just a woman. The women in the Bible that ministered to Jesus, are you saying they're just a woman? And they taught others. We look at Mary and Martha. I love the various accounts of Mary and Martha. They're listed so many times, referred to by Jesus as examples of what to do, what not to do. They ministered to the Son of God. They ministered to his followers, gave aid, comfort, food, nourishment. They were used as teaching examples. They encouraged not only Jesus, but they were friends of his. We tend to forget that Jesus was 100% God. I believe it. I can't explain it. 100% God, but 100% man. I get it. I can't explain that. But he was. He cried at the death of their brother Lazarus. There was a very close and special bond between Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus with Jesus. They encouraged him. They encouraged others. We have Lois and Eunice. And in 2 Timothy, we see the influence that they had on Timothy, that they had taught Timothy the ways of Judaism. His father, all we know about Timothy's father, he was a Greek. That's all we know. Don't even know his name. All we know is he was a Greek. And everything, or most of everything that Timothy became can be traced back, in addition to Paul, to Lois and Eunice, his mother and grandmother. They taught Timothy. They were examples for him. And the fact that they influenced others by just the simple fact of raising a boy in God's word. Look at what that boy wound up doing. What a ripple effect. But I'm just a woman. Priscilla, in Acts 18, we see that she helped Aquila, her husband, teach. They taught people. They were a support to people. You know, talking about teaching, they helped teach Apollos, a man that it says was mighty and eloquent in the scriptures. They helped teach him better. And she was right there. Her and her husband, what an aid she must have been for Aquila to be able to teach, and what a support she was. She was knowledgeable. Nothing wrong, you know, with women having great Bible knowledge. You know, they don't have to just cook, clean, minister. I mean, although that is good. We look at Mary and Martha. They did a lot of that and are praised for it. But here is an example of a knowledgeable woman that's able to teach. She worked. Her and Aquila were tent makers like Paul. And they ministered to Paul. Again, the ripple effect. Paul was what he was to the thanks of people like Priscilla and her husband Aquila. Elders' wives. We see the qualifications of elders, and a lot of people overlook. There are qualifications for elders' wives. In 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus, they have to be godly women. You look at any qualified elder. I've run across some in my life that had the title but weren't qualified. But you look at any qualified elder, behind him is a godly woman. Or they wouldn't be qualified. The support that they give, one, the congregation they're part of, and especially the elder himself. Sometimes elders, and we've had lessons on this about church leadership. Sometimes the role of an elder, you've got the weight of the world on you. She supports and comforts the elder. And they are godly mothers. You cannot be a qualified elder without godly children. She was a big part, her and her husband, big parts of how the children turned out. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." I thank God, and I thank you women for the role that you play in the kingdom. I look at the women here at South Valley. You are a force to be reckoned with. I look at the teaching, the encouraging, the uplifting that goes on amongst you, the service. And I tell you, us men can take a lesson from that. Women teach, they encourage, and they minister to others. Is that a list that anybody could ignore? We could all follow that lead. Anyway, the lesson is yours. We looked at one verse out of the Bible, Genesis 2:18. If you need to respond to the invitation through prayers, through repentance, if you need to repent, don't wait any longer. Don't do it later. Do it now. Because that sin is standing between you and God. If you've been studying and realize that you need to put your Lord on in baptism, we can assist you with that. If you've been looking, visiting various congregations in the valley and would like to identify with a congregation to work and attend with, we would love to have you. Whatever your need, if you would come forward while we sing the invitation song, your needs will be addressed. Scott?